I'm John Robb, and you're listening to Here Manchester.com, a series of 10 audio portraits exploring the rich and varied history of Manchester, from the towpath of the Rochdale Canal that cuts through the heart of one of the greatest cities in the world. Manchester's musical heritage is as famous as any part of its history and culture. The Bee Gees, the Buzzcocks, the Fall, New Order, the Smiths, Simply Red, the Stone Roses, Happy Mondays, Oasis, and many, many more have all come from here and gone on to become world famous. But for every big name, there has always been 20 smaller bands gigging away full of characters, untold stories and hope. Writer and broadcaster C.P. Lee is a lecturer in cultural studies at Salford University and a member of a good few bands in his time. We're just by the Bridgewater Hall underneath Albion Street in the centre of Manchester.
By 1907, there were more cinemas per capita than there were in London. There were lots and lots of local filmmakers. So if you went a bit further left down Oxford Road, just past Albert Square, you would have come across the studios of the Lama Film Company. 1899 they were established. They did great things, like they'd get a team of actors, put them in British Army uniform, get them on the tram to Heaton Park, then have them running up and down a hill, film it, come back. That night in the cinema, the relief of Mafeking.
So in musical terms, who are the unsung heroes of Manchester?
I could give you names of people who are the unsung heroes.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Well, Spider Mike King Band, the Mandala Band, people who laboured away for 1,000 years with a dream and a vision. Pete Kaup, Pete McLean and the Clan. Hundreds and hundreds of bands. I've got a database of now nearing 2,000 names of bands that have existed over the last 50 years in Manchester area.
One unsung hero is Tosh Ryan, whose label Rabid Records gave an early home to Manchester artists such as Buzzcocks, Jilter John, Slaughter the Dogs and plenty more. Tosh's unsung heroes go back well before the days of punk. We spoke overlooking the water on Canal Street.
From my point of view, it goes back further than what most people consider to be Manchester's music scene. You know, I grew up in the 1950s playing in dance bands and wanted to be a jazz player, but was never very good. You know, was never good enough. And so, you know, my heroes would be from the jazz period. People like, I don't know if you've heard of Joe Palin, a pianist who died recently, a few months ago. Saxophone players like Wally Houser, people who are not known at all, you know, people who used to frequent the Band on the Wall before it became, you know, a kind of blues club, when it was a proper jazz club. They're the people that I would like to see more recognition for, you know, because Manchester was, it was a hotbed of modern jazz in the 50s, you know, I mean, it played host to Ronnie Scott, Tubby Hayes, you know, all the big names of jazz, and quite a few Americans as well.
Every weekend along here in the 1940s and 50s, along Oxford Road and Oxford Street, dozens and dozens of pubs, all of them with live music, all playing basically jazz music. Here we've got the Palace Theatre on the right. To our left, where the Midland Hotel is, was the People's Music Hall. And that is where Dan Leno appeared in 1888 after he'd become clog dancing champion of the world, and the finals were held in Rochdale. And the judges used to sit under a table with a stopwatch and you would clog away. And the one who did the most clogs in a set space of time was the winner.
My name's Garfield Allen. I run the Green Room Theatre, which does experimental theatre and live art in Manchester. And I am the artistic director and the chief executive officer. And since they've built the new flats along the canal opposite the Green Room, they've opened up a new alleyway, and it takes you about 20 seconds to get to water. There are lots of unsung heroes at the Green Room. As I said, we've kind of start out with nurturing emergent talent and then seeing them through their career until they sort of fly the nest, as it were. But my real unsung hero actually has to go to a chappie called Jeremy Shine. He runs an organisation called MIA, which is Manchester International Arts, and he's been running that company for a very long time, and he's brought street theatre, spectacle street theatre, to play into publics of 10,000s of people in the streets of Manchester.
OK, my name's Benji Reid. I am a hip-hop theatre practitioner, and I'm the artistic director of Breaking Cycles Theatre Company. I work out of Manchester. Hip-hop theatre is the fusing of hip-hop language, which can be breakdancing, b-boy, MC and graffiti, and fusing it with traditional theatre. The idea is that when you take two disparate languages and bring them together, you create something new that's vibrant and fresh. So what hip-hop theatre is kind of modern physical theatre, dance theatre. For me, I'm not really sure what I would class as an unsung hero is. But what I do know, what we do, is try to find an alternative to kind of the bland, mundane hip-hop that's coming out now that is kind of commercially viable. What we're trying to do is find a way in which we can use hip-hop as a force for positive change, but do it in a unique and very interesting way. And maybe it shouldn't be popular. Maybe this is something that shouldn't go out to the masses, because at the moment it's still quite pure. It's untainted by trying to be anything else but speaking to the people. And maybe sometimes there are spaces for unsung heroes. Maybe this is my space. Maybe I don't need to be any celebrated any more than what I have been already.
Come up from the canal by the Bridgewater Hall. It's like a little basin. Just come up the steps and just behind a Barbarelli statue, speaking to her, Eleanor Roberts, who works at the Bridgewater Hall as an archivist. We talk about unsung heroes, and what I'm interested in is Halle. I mean, a lot of people know his name, mm-hmm. but don't seem to know a lot about him.
No, well, he was born in Germany, and he arrived in Manchester in 1848, having travelled over from Paris, which is where he was living and studying at the time. And of course, in 1848, Paris rather kicked off with lots of revolutionary goings on, and he just had a young family and decided it wasn't safe to stay there. So he initially went to London, but London was full of musicians who all wanted to do the same thing as him, which was basically teach and also organise recitals, chamber concerts, that kind of thing. And he was sent a letter from a gentleman called Herman Leo, who was a Manchester textile magnate, basically, who said, "Have you thought about Manchester? I think you could do really well here." Halle wrote back and said, "Well, I will come if you can guarantee me a good number of pupils." So Leo obviously kind of contacted anyone and everyone who had people who might want to learn the piano, wrote to Halle a bit later and said, "Here you go." So he came.
One of the key things about Halle, I mean, he set up his orchestra here. It was for the people, wasn't it? It was very Mancunian. It wasn't elitist. He wanted it for everybody.
He did, yes. He always had, in inverted commas, cheap seats. They were still a shilling, but the cheapest available kind of entertainment in the Free Trade Hall at the time was still sixpence, so it wasn't a lot more. And an awful lot of classical music concerts at the time tended to be for subscribers, so you basically paid in advance for all the concerts. And Halle didn't do that. He always had tickets that were available in the gallery for people who could just turn up.
Did a lot of normal mill workers go and go to the concerts?
It's impossible to say now, obviously, but there is a story from Halle's autobiography that he was sent a letter from a gentleman who worked in one of the mills who had sent him a length of cloth by way of saying thank you for all the many sort of years of pleasure that his concerts had given him. The letter's quoted in the autobiography, and it's not that of a particularly well-educated man. So, you know, I think, yeah, there were some there, definitely. There is another story that I think you'll like, which is in his autobiography, about his local postman who arrived to deliver letters one Christmas and was a bit the worse for wear. Obviously, people had been offering him a little tot to keep out the cold. By the time he got to Halle's house, Halle was quite worried that he wouldn't complete the round. So he put the chap to sleep on his sofa, took the bag, finished the postal round for him, and then came back, which I think is a lovely story.
What a top bloke.
Yeah,
we like Halle.
Yeah, definitely.
What a great unsung hero, Manchester.
Absolutely.
Charles Halle. Yeah. If you've enjoyed this programme, why not venture further along the Rochdale Canal? Discover more portraits of our magnificent city at heremanchester.com.